our speaker tonight, my friend, my brother, Joseph.
I'm grateful to be live and sober, and Kevin, thanks for asking me to share at the meeting. I actually had completely forgotten until he announced it in another meeting I was attending earlier in the week, so I'm glad I was there. I'm glad I was there. Like a month ago, 2 months ago, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to write it down, and I did write it down. I did write it down. I just haven't looked in my schedule for weeks, man. They email me where I'm supposed to be every day, and I just go there, dude. You know, it's simple. But, you know, it's like I was thinking, no matter what I share, what I say, it's like it can never truly reflect how bad it was inside. And no matter what I say, it can never truly reflect how good it is inside today. You know what I mean? It's like, man, I don't know. I don't ever remember taking my first drink. Like, growing up with my mom, there was, you know, alcohol and other various controlled substances were pretty just normal, it seemed like, in the household all the time. You know, growing up, there was alcohol. I remember seeing cocaine and weed there a lot. And it just seemed like, I just thought that that's how people grew up. You know what I mean? It seemed normal. I didn't really think anything abnormal about it. So I don't really remember taking, like, so to say, my first drink or whatever like that. I would, it's kind of like if there was like coffee right there, I'll just drink it. You know what I mean? It's like, just seemed normal, you know? But later on, like, so there was I've shared this many times. It's like, I was molested as a young boy growing up, you know what I mean? By another male family member. And I had put a lot of power into that. There was a lot of, you know, just, I don't even know why. Like, I hadn't really done anything wrong. The only thing I did wrong was not do anything about it. You know what I mean? So I put a lot of power into that. And I didn't know how much that really molded me until, you know, years into sobriety. You know what I mean? Where you really start taking a solid look at that kind of stuff and how it affected me and how it's affected every relationship I've ever been in, the trust issues I've had, you know, and just how that dysfunction just kind of molded me into the person that I became. You know what I mean? Fear, remorse, regret, just all those things that kind of just like a potter on the wheel. You know what I mean? It's like these are the principles that molded me. You know what I mean? Just like sickness. What do you get when sickness, you get sickness, you know what I mean? And that's what I had become, a very sick individual. And so, you know, I mean, growing up, it was like, I never felt like I fit in. I fit in with the kids that didn't fit in. You know what I mean? It's like the surfers, the skater, you know what I mean? It was like the partiers, you know, we just surfing, skating, fighting, and fornicating, you know what I mean? That was like our primary purpose, you know what I mean? It's like, that's what we were out to do. School, you know, there was no real look at like what, like applying ourselves at school, you know what I mean? Like, that just didn't seem to be in the cards for us. And so we applied ourselves to, you know, just having a good time, what it seemed like. And it was a good time for a long time. It was a good time. It wasn't until, like, well, to be honest with you, I knew I was an alcoholic when I was 19 years old. You know, the day my daughter was born, she was born 2 weeks before I turned 20. And it is the most powerful thing I'd ever experienced in my life, my daughter's birth. Nothing has ever come close to that. But at the same time, all I could think about was going home and tying one on. That's all I could think about. I have this beautiful baby girl in my arms, and all I can think about is leaving that place and going and getting drunk, man. You know, that's like how powerful it was. And that was just the beginning of the power that it would end up wielding over me. You know what I mean? Like, eventually I would walk away from family and all responsibilities, you know, but not all overnight. You know what I mean? It's, none of this stuff happens to us overnight. It's a long walk. You know what I mean? It's a long walk, and typically it's pretty painful for most of us, you know? And mine was no different. My story's not really all that special, not really all that out of the ordinary, man. I had become consumed with the effect that alcohol provides for me and narcotics. You know what I mean? My favorite drug is Jack Daniels and methamphetamine, man. That takes me right to the spot. I need to be in complete checkout, you know? And emotionally, physically, psychologically, like just be gone, you know what I mean? And whatever falls in line with that is fine. And what's not in line with that isn't. You know what I mean? Usually, typically, kids and mortgages and showing up to work, that stuff's typically not in line with that kind of lifestyle, you know what I mean? And I had walked away from all that stuff. You know, I was never really promising as far as like schooling goes. I got expelled when I was a senior because we got caught drinking in the parking lot. But that there was, I mean, there was a lot of stuff that led up to that. You know what I mean? That was just kind of like the last straw where they're just like, we can't have you at this school anymore. You know what I mean? It was like, cool. Finally, you know what I mean? You don't want us to come anymore? Fuck, we don't even want to be here, you know? It's like, fuck. What win-win seems like, you know? You know? But my dad was very big. So my dad was a masonry contractor, you know, it's like, and so he was very big at teaching me. And I've working with him throughout my whole life. So me and my cousins were this tall, dragging around pieces of wood in the mud, like they were boats and stuff. You know what I mean? But growing up and then growing into workers. And my dad was very big at teaching us work ethic and attempting to teach us what it was to grow up to be, you know, a boy and a man, you know, but I just couldn't grasp onto that stuff. So I do give it to my dad. He did attempt to show me what it was to, you know, to be in this world and to just be a father and all the things that were supposed to be. But like I said, man, getting loaded had become way more powerful to me than that, those things. You know what I mean? It just held seemed way more important just to check out and not feel or think about anything, it seemed like. And so I put all my energy into just doing that, just getting loaded, you know. And I had good things, you know. I had jobs where you're making way too much money, you know. I'd fall in this company where we'd be making prevailing wage somewhere, you know, and making good money, having stuff, you know. I had, like I said, I had a eventually I had a wife and a daughter, and but I couldn't provide them with just the basic needs. You know what I mean? Like they didn't feel safe around me. You know, they didn't feel loved. I wasn't emotionally available. You know what I mean? I couldn't like just be there. You know, I just couldn't be there. And those things, I was stripped of all those things, you know, just like, and I look at today, like at that time in my life, it just like, it breaks my heart. You know, it breaks my heart. Not that I want them back, but just the things that I put them through. You know what I mean? The pain they must have felt just having to deal with me, you know what I mean? In the state that I was in, it breaks my heart. And that's a big reason why I just stay now. You know what I mean? I don't ever want to subject anybody to that person anymore. I don't want to subject me to myself anymore in that state. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, Evan's over here. Yeah, dude. Yeah. I seen Evan come in, man. A mess, you know? But if you look at the guy now, it's like they're two totally different people. And that's the power of Alcoholics Anonymous. You know what I mean? It's like it takes us from the dead. It raises the dead, literally. You know what I mean? Maybe not the physically dead, but the psychologically, emotionally, the spiritually flatliners, and it turns us into humans. You know what I mean? That's the power of Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, if you're willing to do a few things and stick around, it doesn't matter like what you feel. It just matters what we do around here, and that's life. That's life. It never really matters what I feel. You know what I mean? It never really matters. My feelings are so chaotic at times. You know what I mean? Just like, oh my God, ask this one. Like, dude, one minute I'm hot, the next I'm frozen. You know what I mean? It's like, oh man, a mess. You know what I mean? I'm like coming up on 8 years of sobriety, and I'm still just sifting out just the basic human like things. You know what I mean? Just like, just the basic stuff, dude. I'm barely even like touch grasping. You know what I mean? It's like slow growth. Slow growth. It is, man. It is. But you know what? It's like I've stayed. I've stayed. I've watched guys like Angel and Gary and Davy Jones and freaking Henry, guys of decades of sobriety. You see them every day without fail. You see them in meetings. Why should my shit be any different? Why? I'm not special, you know? What makes me think that I can just chip away at a couple meetings here and there, or that I can just, you know, be in touch with my sponsor here and there? You know what I mean? Just like that's good enough, right? That's not good enough for me. Like I heard you share the other night. It's like that what I'm doing right now ain't good enough. You know what I mean? It has to be kicked up, you know? And that, like, just realizing that sometimes is a powerful thing for us. You know what I mean? Like, because we decide are what we're gonna get out of this. You know what I mean? We decide. We're either gonna go all in and truly reap the benefits, or we're just gonna get, you know, just enough to stay sober and insane that day, you know? And I don't wanna be sober and insane. You know what I mean? I mean, like, so I, 'cause I've been loaded and insane, and I've been sober and insane, and I'd rather not be either of those two things. You know, I mean, I'd rather have some comfort in my life, you know what I mean? Some balance, you know, some emotional balance, you know. And Alcoholics Anonymous, the process of Alcoholics Anonymous and holding myself accountable and just being a part of this thing allows me to have those things, you know. Simple connections with people, you know, allow me to have those things. And so I don't know, man. It was so at like 20, I think I was 23 years old, and so my now ex-wife had left me because, like I say, she didn't feel safe, she didn't feel secure, she wasn't, obviously wasn't being loved the way she felt she needed to be. And so at that point, 23 years old is when I really took a dive off the deep end. You know, I mean, I was like, I look at it now and I was resentful. You know what I mean? I was resentful because I couldn't drink and use the way I wanted to drink and use with having a family. You know what I mean? It was like, it was that, it was had that much of a stronghold on me. You know what I mean? It was like I could not get enough ever. And when I did get enough, I was completely out of control. You know what I mean? And I wake up and she'd tell me the things that I had done, and I'd be remorseful. You know, remorseful is like the four horsemen, right? What is it? The terror, bewilderment, frustration, and despair. Like, you know what I mean? Like living the life I wanted to live, but living the life I had to live, it just wasn't, it wasn't adding up for me. You know what I mean? It's like I couldn't give them the things they needed. You know, I couldn't give my family the things they needed. And so at like 23 years old, she left with my daughter, and I don't blame her at all, because I couldn't put up with the person that I had become either. There's no possible way that I could just, it was ugly. It was ugly, you know, trying to be a father and you're loaded all the time. You know what I mean? Your friends are coming overloaded, and it just was an unhealthy environment. And so I don't blame her for leaving. In fact, I was probably glad she did, even though I was heartbroken, you know, and it was painful. Like I could kick off the way, you know, the game needed to be played, you know. And it just got really bad really fast. And the last 10 years of me drinking and using, I was in and out of incarceration all the time. I had been on probation until like 3 years, 2 years, 2 or 3 years ago. I had been on probation since I was 16 years old. You know what I mean? It's like, so I don't know, it was like 20 something. I can't even count right now, dude. I can't even count right now. But it was a lot of years. Now, I didn't even know what it was, even though, like, to be just free, you know what I mean? With nothing hanging over my head, or not knowing what it was to feel like sketched when the cops were behind you or something, you know what I mean? I just didn't know what that felt like. Never, I mean, there'd be like 10 years when I didn't have a license or really own a car. You know what I mean? I'd buy a car, never put it in my name, and it would be gone in a few months anyways. You know, never really cared because that stuff wasn't important. All that mattered was getting loaded, you know, like I say, and it just, those things just don't add up to getting loaded. You know, they get me from spot to spot, but they're really, you can't ingest those things. You know what I mean? And that's all I cared about. And when I see people come in, like, and I hear like somewhat of a similar state of mind, like, they're really mixed up in the head, you know, but like I can like totally relate to that. You know what I mean? It's like, I identify with that, with coming here with from scratch, starting from scratch, essentially, you know what I mean? Eternally, emotionally, financially, like at home, nobody trusts you anymore. It's like, starting from scratch to having to work to build all that again. And it's my phone that goes off. But, so it was a reminder to be here on time. no, but, so like I said, man, I was in and out of incarceration for a long time, and I'd spend like 6 months, 8 months, a year away from my family, wouldn't see anybody, barely saw my kid here and there. I remember there was one time where I saw her, like, I don't know, I literally lived like across town from her in AG, and I saw her like twice in a year. You know what I mean? My heart was so broken by myself, you know what I mean, from myself. I broke my own heart, you know what I mean? And I couldn't imagine what I was doing to this little girl who just wanted her dad by her, you know what I mean? I just couldn't imagine. And that kept me away even more. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And so, like, it was just ugly inside. I was just felt, like, so unworthy, so just disconnected, you know what I mean? And I saw no way out. Like, I remember thinking that I'm going to die loaded, and I'm okay with that, you know, because when it's black, that's all I see is black. You know, I had nobody who had ever, you know, said, let's go to a meeting. I didn't have family members that had any kind of condition that was similar to mine. Nobody ever needed Alcoholics Anonymous in my family that I knew about. You know what I mean? They're not alcoholics. Nobody said, let's go to an NA meeting. Or, you know what I mean? It's like, they're functioning. Whatever they're doing, they're functioning at doing it, you know? And they hold it together pretty well. For the most part, like, all my siblings, all my cousins, all my aunts and uncles, they all have, not degrees, but they've gone to college. They bought homes. They have careers, you know? They've raised pretty healthy children. They pay their mortgages, they pay their registration on their vehicles, you know, like, I forgot what it was to do any of that stuff. You know what I mean? And, so like, it wasn't until I was like 33 years old, and my first AA meeting was in the loving care of the San Luis Obispo County Sheriff's Department. And, I had a friend who was there with me, and he said, let's go to this. He had been to meetings before. I had never been to a meeting. So we went to this meeting, and this gentleman, Doc, from the Five Cities group out there on the Mesa, he has since passed, but he carried the message to us in there during that night. And I don't remember anything that was said. All I remember was I don't know if I read it or someone read it, how it works. Is that one of the readings we read? How it works, and just breaking down, dude. You know what I mean? Because, like, the truth of, I was reading about Joseph for the first time, you know what I mean? And the truth hit me like a wrecking ball. It was just like, it was like breaking down my walls, you know what I mean? Because I hadn't heard or lived the truth since I can't remember how long it was. I just, the truth is scary to me, you know what I mean? In that state, in the lie, the truth is scary as it gets, you know? And, so that first meeting, I think I stayed sober for, I don't know, a pretty, I think actually I might have stayed sober for about 6 or 8 months.
And then I had actually done some more meetings when I got out. And then I got this really good job. My aunt and uncle own a construction company. So they got this contract at the University of Merced out there in the sticks. And we were building dorm rooms out there. And I was making a beautiful amount of money. And but it was like, so they rented two houses way out there by the campus, which is way out in the middle of nowhere in Merced. And it was like 40 guys. And every night was a giant party. You know what I mean? It's just the two houses of ours. We had a pool. It was just a giant party every night. I lasted one night. And I went out there with 6 months of sobriety, and I lasted one night. You know, because I had been in Alcoholics Anonymous, but I hadn't gotten honest working the steps. You know what I mean? Randy Rose, some of you guys know him. I asked him to be my sponsor. Good dude, man. Solid guy. Saw him walk through some stuff. And asked him to help me, but there was one thing I was leaving out of all of this, the G word. You know what I mean? I wanted to do all this without God. You know what I mean? And I lasted one night without him. One night without him. You know what I mean? Like, if that isn't a sign itself, you know, I don't know what is, you know? It's like powerless, just powerless. No defense, no defense. So we're working on this job. I'm out there for about 4 months. Like I said, I had about 6-8 months. I can't remember how much of sobriety I had. I was sober for about 6-8 months. And so I start drinking. Then on the weekends, you know, we come home with these beautiful checks. I start chipping away using too. You know what I mean? Just using on the weekends. Not a big deal, right? It's just the weekend, you know? Pretty soon I got to take it to work. You know, I got to take it out there to work. Pretty soon I run out in the middle of the week, and like Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday start to suck. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it got ugly again, man. And when I got laid off this job, and I had like, I don't know, it was like $12,000 or $15,000 in uncashed checks, because I had no reason to cash the checks. We were living out there for like a very small amount of money. You know, they were charging us like $50 a week for rent. You know what I mean? And I come home with all this money. And so I went on a sick run. You know what I mean? When I got laid off from that job, I had like, I don't know, it was an ungodly amount of money. And I just went on a sick run. And it was, you know what I mean? It was just like, here, you're with me. It's yours too, you know? Because it didn't, I don't know, man. I just want, misery loves company, I guess. You know what I mean? And it got real ugly. And so when I ran out of the money, what do we do now? We resort to criminal behavior. You know what I mean? To keep the ball rolling. That's what I had just become accustomed to, you know? And so one more time, and I'm not a good criminal. I'm not a good criminal. I always get caught, dude. I always get caught, man. Like I say, I've been on probation since I was like 16. You know what I mean? Is that a good indication of a good criminal? Probably not. But I didn't get the message. But, you know, it's like, so most of the time, though, like every time I'd be in court and like, you know, they'd give me, you know, somewhat of a chance, like they'd want me to go to this program or something, you know, and I'd be like, yeah, I'm all for it, you know, but I'd never show up. You know what I mean? I think they started out with like PC 1000, and then it was like drug diversion, and you know what I mean? But they never suggested that I go to AA meeting. Maybe they would have had I gone to the briefing of these programs. I don't know. I never made it. But like the last time, especially, I remember being incarcerated, like they gave me a court card and said, you have to have this signed in jail. You know what I mean? Like when they have meetings, you have to be there when they're in jail, when you're in jail, you know? And it's like, I still didn't get it that maybe I needed help. You know what I mean? It just didn't cross my mind. So like this last time I had gotten to some pretty serious, I had facing some pretty serious charges again, you know, it's like, and it was just, I can't even explain like God's grace. You know what I mean? It's like, that's the only reason I didn't go to prison, you know, because I had already had a laundry list of charges and I had just gotten a new one. And there's just no way It's not because of me. It's not because I'm a good guy. It's not because the judge saw a change in me. It's just, you know what I mean? It had nothing to do with me. I'll tell you what it was. At first, it was because they had gotten my name wrong on the docket. You know what I mean? So they weren't looking at the right guy is what it was. They were looking at somebody's clean record who had just maybe, you know, fell off on some something over here. You know what I mean? But no, when I showed up in court with the real paperwork, they knew who they were looking at. They were like kind of baffled at how I was not already behind bars. You know what I mean? It was like, how is this guy not in jail right now? But I had been coming to court. I had been showing up on time. I had been, you know, willing to pay restitution. You know what I mean? People from AA were coming with me to court. You know, I have like my own caravan with me. Not that I was asking them to come, like Sarah and Bob and all these people. They just show up. They just show up on my court dates, man. And my public defender is like, he's, you know, the judge saw all this. You know, the judge saw like I was like, these people were backing me for whatever reason. You know what I mean? Like, I couldn't see why. You know, I don't see any real worth in myself. I don't know why you're here. You know what I mean? That's like kind of like what I felt. It's like, I have no idea why you're here. You know what I mean? I'm not worthy of your support, really. That's how I felt, you know? So, so it just turned out that I didn't go to prison. And that's like, God's grace is the only way I can explain that. Because really, I deserved to go to prison. And I was willing to go. I wasn't even fighting the case. I wasn't fighting the case. I was like, it's true. I've done these things. You know what I mean? I was like, I had no more fight. There was nothing left. You know what I mean? It's like, I was ready to go. Maybe some time away would be good for me, you know? Or maybe I'll be dead. Who knows? I don't know. I don't really care anymore at this point. I was like, I got nothing left here. You know, and then I got to Alcoholics Anonymous. Like I said, I was coming. I got a sponsor. I've had a couple since the very beginning, but I'm back to my original sponsor, Daryl. Let me tell you something about sponsorship. It's like, I don't know what it is for you guys. Like, for me, because I've struggled with his personality on many days, right? Right? But when I truly look at how he lives his life, you know, guided by spiritual principles, guided by a God of his understanding, that's what this is all about, right? So, when I ever question myself, because I've questioned myself, like, should I get another sponsor? You know what I mean? I've been like, Joe, will you sponsor me? He's like, well, why don't you take a look at what it really is? You know what I mean? And when I truly look at it, it's like, yeah, it is me. It is the lack of effort I'm putting into it. Or it is me focusing on his personality rather than the principles he lives by. You know what I mean? So it usually becomes clear as day, like the things I'm struggling with, if I'm willing to look at them, you know, in a realistic way. And I love what Glenn said the other night. My perception only goes right here. You know what I mean? It's like sometimes I need a different view of it. You know what I mean? In order to see it for what it truly is, because I can only see what I see. You know what I mean? And sometimes what I see might not be what it really is. You know what I mean? Because I have emotions involved in it. You know what I mean? I have feelings involved in the things that I see and the things that I experience. But when I can get another look at it, you know what I mean? Then it can be looked at in a, I don't know the word for it. I'm reaching there. But anyways, sometimes I need an outside look at it. You know what I mean? And I can't give that to myself. That's why I need to reach out to people. You know what I mean? Help me. Is this really what's going on here? You know? And a lot of times it's not really what's going on here. You know, it's just my perception of it. And so January 7th, 2010 was the day I got sober. I haven't had a drink or a drug since that day. I've had a lot of insanity in my life since that day. I've engaged in a lot of improper behaviors since that day. You know what I mean? I've hurt people since that day. I've been neglecting, I've been condescending, I've been callous, I've been all those things, but I haven't drank or used, right? But like, and so in sobriety, like staying sober, a lot of good things are possible. But that, I've learned that that's just not enough for me. Like, I just staying sober is not enough. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't want to be sober and insane. You know what I mean? I don't want to be crawling out of my own skin. I want to be comfortable in my skin. You know what I mean? I want to say, I want to be somewhat proud of who I am. You know what I mean? And we always talk about false pride as and like ego. I'm not talking like an egotistical way. I want to be proud of who I am. You know what I mean? I want to be able to look in the mirror and say, you're a good man. You know what I mean? That's right. And so that's why I stick around. You know what I mean? Because Alcoholics Anonymous has guided me into being a better man, you know? And I get to watch other people become better men and other women become better women, you know? And I get to watch people come in insane, you know? And watch the clouds, you know, the fog clear. And I get to watch the lights turn on. And I get to watch them do the work. And I get to watch their lives improve. And then I'm like, damn, like, that's cool. You know what I mean? Congratulations. You know what I mean? Be happy for somebody else, you know? I was never happy for anybody else unless it was for me to gain off that person. You know what I mean? Oh, you're coming up? Good, because I'm coming up too then. You know what I mean? Right? That's like, that's the selfishness. Right? Yep. Right. That's the selfishness of the disease that I carry. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm not here to tell you that alcoholism and drug addiction define me as the person that I am, because they don't. They're a condition that I have to live with, that I address every day that I'm here. But that alcoholism and drug addiction does not define me as a person. You know what I mean? What defines me as a person are my actions, period. You know what I mean? Is what I do. It's not what I think doesn't define me. I cannot project what I think about myself into reality, you know, in life. Like, what I do is who I am, you know? And so today, like, I want the reality of Joseph to be in positive standing. Like, I want that to be a good reflection. Like, my goal is to, like, just be an example of God's grace. You know what I mean? Just the power of restoration to come from what I was to who I am today, to where it's possible to go tomorrow. Like, that's what I want to be a reflection of. You know what I mean? Not the cool fucking surfer, skater, fucking tough guy. Like, all that is like worn hat. You know what I mean? Like, that carries no weight with me anymore. I have no interest in wearing those masks anymore. You know what I mean? Like, those hold no power over me. Like, what is cool to me today, what is real... Don't do that. What is cool to me today is like the lengths that someone is willing to go to move from that to something better. You know what I mean? That's cool to me. You know what I mean? That's what I fall in line with. You know what I mean? Not all the, don't get me wrong. Like, I'm not talking about like money, property, or prestige. Like, those things don't matter type stuff. I'm just saying, like, What matters to me is like who you're willing to become. You know what I mean? It's like, what length are you willing to go to make the changes that you need to make in order to make yourself a better person for the people that you affect on a daily basis? You know what I mean? Your children, your parents, your coworkers, you know what I mean? Like, what are you willing to sacrifice in order to become a better person for those people? You know what I mean? To be kind, you know what I mean? What is it to be a kind man? You know what I mean? A good man, you know what I mean? Like, those things are very elusive, you know, those principles. And because society does not teach us to be kind to each other, they teach us to take all the time to look better, to feel better, to be better, you know, to have more, you know what I mean? All those things that just really don't add up to very much at all, you know? What really adds up to me is like the things I'm taught in Alcoholics Anonymous by even just the newcomers coming in could say something. I'd just be like, wow. You know what I mean? It's like, wow. Like, and just like the people that have been here for decades who have simplified the program for us. You know what I mean? That's where the power of Alcoholics Anonymous lies for me, is the simplicity of it all, you know? Trust God, clean house, help others. You know what I mean? It's like, that's the solidity. That's the concrete of Alcoholics Anonymous. And we can go, but we're very analytical people. You know what I mean? And we love to find the loopholes and the, you know what I mean? Right? The shortcuts, because we're full of them. We're full of loopholes and shortcuts and all that stuff. We've tried to slither through life our whole lives like that, right? But when you get down to it, when you boil it down to trust God, clean house, and help others, there's no loopholes in that. There's no shortcuts in that. You know what I mean? That requires real work. That requires dedication. That requires commitment. All things that alcoholics are terrified of. You know what I mean? Like, pretty much terrified of. Commitment, dedication, hard work. You know what I mean? Right? I mean, unless we know we're going to benefit from these things.
Yeah.
But see, that's just it, man. It's like, we will give everything we got into a life of pain and dysfunction and perversion and confusion. You know, we'll give everything we got to that. When we show up to Alcoholics Anonymous, we're like, this is the path to freedom. And we're just like, hold on a second. You know what I mean? That's just a little too healthy for me. You know? You know? It's like, that's crazy, man. That's crazy. Like, I'm comfortable over here in this pain. You know what I mean? I understand this over here. I don't understand that. You know what I mean? So we're just like, oh, I'll just put a little bit on that. You know what I mean? But the thing is, that's cool. That's good enough at first. Because even though we put just a little bit, and we start to see these little results, and we're like, whoa, I want some more of that. And we just keep trudging forward in that. You know what I mean? And pretty soon we're dedicated, we're committed, we're focused. You know what I mean? And we started to change our lives. And the people who, our families, are starting to see us in a whole different light. We're starting to bring something different to the table of our family, of work, you know, of being fathers, of brothers, sons, whatever it is. We're starting to bring something positive to that. And then, like, I remember, oh man, I don't know. But I remember my ex-wife coming to me, like, in a few years of sobriety, she had come and asked me about something, you know what I mean? Like, sharing something that was troubling, had nothing to do with me. Nothing to do with me. Like, it was troubling her in her life. And I was just amazed that she had come to me. You know what I mean? I was amazed that this woman who I'd put through so much pain and ripped her off so much in her life, you know what I mean? That she had come to me and asked for, I don't even remember what it was. It was completely irrelevant. You know what I mean? But I was just amazed at the fact that she had come to me. You know what I mean? That's when I started to feel like I was making changes, you know what I mean? And this is in multiple years of sobriety, you know what I mean? I remember my third cake, my third at the 1600 Club, Sunday nights they do it. And my third year, I remember every year, but on year three, I remember taking a cake and Daryl had given me a hug. He said, "Be humble, brother." He says the same thing to me every year. But it like clicked right there, dude. It was like, I think I can do this. You know what I mean? At 3 years, I was like, I think I can do this. You know, some people might say that self on like 3 days or 3 months, you know, but like 3 years it took to click for me. You know what I mean? I was like, I think I'm worthy of this. You know, I think I can do this. And ever since then, it's been like trudging for more, you know, wanting more of this, you know, pushing myself more. Falling hard on some days, you know, making huge, terrible decisions, you know what I mean? Terrible decisions. And then getting back up and keep walking, you know, not giving up on myself, not giving up on people that are in this fellowship that make equally or even consequently worse decisions. You know what I mean? Like, you don't shoot our wounded here. You know what I mean? Love and tolerance is our cloak, is our coat, right? Right. And we carry that to every member of this fellowship. We attempt to carry that into life, you know, love and tolerance. And we learn that here in Alcoholics Anonymous. And that's the freedom, man. That's the freedom. If I can exercise love and tolerance, if I can allow you to be you for who you are, to believe what you believe, to walk where you need to walk, I'm free, dude. You know what I mean? I no longer have to manipulate your life to think of you the way you need to think of you, or to think of me the way I need you to think of me. You know what I mean? To allow you to just be you, whether you're my friend or not, is that freedom. That's true freedom. Because my whole life I had worn a mask to show you what I needed you to see, to think of me the way I needed you to think of me. You know what I mean? If you look far enough away at it, it might look decent. But the closer you got to see the reality, the uglier it got. You know what I mean? And the uglier the truth was. But today, the truth is not as ugly. You know what I mean? There are things that need to be addressed of Joseph all the time. You know what I mean? All the time, right? This is a constant uphill walk. Recovery is a constant uphill walk, uncovering, discovering, and discarding, right? But I think just having that knowledge and having that willingness is like one of my greatest tools on any given day. You know what I mean? Just being willing to uncover, discover, and discard, as ugly as what I be might find, you know what I mean? You look on, you're just like, oh my God. You put the lid back on that thing. You know what I mean? It's like, just be all right. Let's take another look at it then. You know what I mean? Like, this is who you are. Absolute. Without a doubt, the greatest gift I've ever given myself is unconditional acceptance of self. Unconditional acceptance of self. And I think that has become a new thing for me. It's very new, actually. And like I say, man, I'm a slow learner. You know what I mean? I just am, dude. You know, because I fought myself this whole time. Before Alcoholics, I was ashamed of even my name. You know what I mean? Just ashamed of my name. You know, Joseph, that's not a cool name. You know what I mean? Just like, I couldn't accept myself at all, you know? And that's a big reason why I drank and used for a lot of years, you know? Because it was just painful to be me, you know? Today, it's not so painful anymore, you know? Today, it's not, the truth isn't as ugly, you know? There are, like I say, there will always be things to address. There will always be room for growth. There's never a mark that I reach that is high enough, you know what I mean? I feel good on some days, and I know that takes work. That takes maintenance. I don't just get to feel good and then land right there and stay there. It's like, because life doesn't work like that. You know what I mean? There's constant uphills and downhill battles of life. And I'm hoping to find some balance in all of it. You know what I mean? I want to bring the things that like I say, I've been able to see I shared with you about when my ex-wife came to me one time. My brother came to me recently, said his drinking was out of control. He lives in Texas, you know what I mean? So it's hard for us to be like close and connect and talk face to face, right? And I suggested he find meetings. You know what I mean? It's like, all I can do is suggest to, you know what I mean? Like, I have no control. I pray for my brother every day. I pray for everyone every day. You know what I mean? Like, everyone. Especially those in pain, especially those confused, especially those inflicted with alcoholism, drug addiction, sex addiction, gambling. It doesn't matter, dude. It's all the unmanageability, the insanity. It takes so many different forms. Like, I can relate, you know, I can relate. So, man, I'm just so grateful to be here. I'm not sure if I really... Well, I shared my story, so that's all I could have brought anyway. So gratitude is always heavily on my mind, and I can sense when someone is living their life in a state of gratitude. You just feel it in them, you know what I mean? It's like, it's not something that they have to prove to you, because they've already, you know what I mean? It's they've already it by living the way they're living, you know what I mean? And that's what I attempt to live in, you know what I mean? Gratitude. Just and I'm not perfect at it. I get ungrateful, I get angry, I get resentful, you know, I get hurt, you know what I mean? I get it's all about me again, you know what I mean? It's like, it's just, it can turn so quickly on me, you know what I mean? It's like, it can turn so quickly, you know what I mean? But it's like, turn it back then, you know what I mean? It's like, I have the choice. I could turn this back, you know what I mean? I don't have to get stuck in that morbid reflection. I don't have to get stuck in self all the time. It's not about me all the time. You know?
It's about me sometimes. I mean, shit. Everybody gets their turn. You know what I mean? It's just the way life is, man. You know what I mean? But it's like, I try, like Ashley and I were talking, I try not to take life so personal anymore. You know what I mean? It's like, it's not, not every arrow is directed at me. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, it's like sometimes I get hit by one. Yeah, it's because I got in the way. You know what I mean? It's like, shit, you stand in the path of an arrow, you're going to get hit, you know? But it's like, I try not to take things so seriously and so personally. And I just try and stay focused on the things that I want from my life, the things that I want to bring to the people in my life, the things that I want to be a part of, that I hold in priority. And I just focus on those things, and all the little trivial stuff just seems to start slipping away. You know what I mean? Yeah, sometimes more adds on to you on top of it, but for the most part, it's not as heavy as it was anymore. You know what I mean? And I get to watch my friends walk through things, death, cancers, whatever it is, I get to watch it. That's the beautiful thing about the fellowship, is we get to watch each other respond to life's heaviest situations, you know, in somewhat, hopefully, a healthy, balanced manner. And it's 8 o'clock. Thank God. Because I'm done. Thank you guys for coming to share.
Somebody's calling.
All right, let's give Jeff another hand.